Alien Romulus, Beetlejuice, Acolyte, the Beast Games. There has been so much in the past week, and we're also going to be looking at Invincible Season 2, Episode 6. We're only looking at Ghostbusters, which was not exactly the best feeling that you want to have to go busting, but we're going to dive into all of that. But as always, guys and girls, you know what comes up first.
Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Lights, Camera, Rant. And I would like to say, as always, thank you for coming past for everyone who listens in, watches us, everything else in between. It's always an absolute pleasure. And look, as always, again, I always say, if you haven't already, grab a drink, settle in, and get ready for this week's episode. But also, in me saying that, if you're driving and listening to this podcast, wouldn't recommend it, but hey, each to their own. And look, this past week, like, I don't know if like universes combined it or something to go with, it's just that time of year, but this past week seems to have been an absolute trailer dump. I felt like there was a new trailer every single day, or not only a new trailer, but a new announcement of something coming soon. And I was like, holy shit, like, is it just March is where you do your dump for the entire year? And look, we got some trailers this week that I was really excited for and were really good, but then we also got some trailers that was a bit like, that really didn't do much, or that was just a beat for beat what we didn't need. And also, I want to mention, we got Invincible, we got the X-Men TV show, like, and Halo, which we will be reviewing Halo. We're going to do a very special episode of Halo, which we're going to be wrapping that all up together. So that review is going to be for a separate episode. And also in the past week, we also got to go see and review Wicked Little Letters, which that review is out right now. And after I'm recording this exact episode, we are going to go see the brand new Sydney Sweeney movie called Immaculate that we're going to go see and check that new horror flick. Because you know what it's like with me in horror films. I absolutely love them. 100% on the Twitch. DoGZ, oh boy, that alien teaser. I know, which I can't wait to get into that. And all the trailers, that would have been the most one that I was like, yes. It's like watching my phone, like, yes, I'm in. Take my money. But as always, we're going to get into the news, and then we're going to get into the reviews for Invincible and Ghostbusters. So straight off the bat, this got announced towards the end of last year. Mr. Beast is making a brand new TV show, a brand new contest TV show, which is going to be in line with Amazon Prime. Now that we knew all that, there's going to be a whole bunch of contestants, very similar to what he also does. It will be premiering on YouTube first, and then it will be going on to Amazon. But the biggest thing about this show is that, again, not only is this Mega Man breaking records, is that the prize for this show is $5 million. That's right. The winner receives $5 million. So why that's so significant besides the dollar value is that there's the biggest amount someone's going to win ever on a YouTube show, on a real contest show, anything. It is the biggest prize money ever put forward for a TV show. You know, you have Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which, judging by inflation and all that, you kind of want to be Who Wants to Be a Five-Millionaire. That's really what that show should be called. And that's what the prize money is going to be for this show. So whoever wins that, you are set for life, my friend. Now, the Beast Games, which Mr. Beast has called, I kind of wish he called it Beast Wars, but, you know, copyright, of course. But Beast Games. So this show currently doesn't have an official release date, but it's looking to be releasing in the fall of this year. So you're probably looking around about August, October of when this will be dropping. As a no release date, just that at this stage. But
I would love to win $5 million, but whoever wins that, God, you're just going to be absolutely set. Now, this is funny, weird, and at the same time, when I looked at it, I was like, of course. So we all know that last year, Winnie the Pooh became a public domain. And without a shadow of a doubt, very soon, we got the Winnie the Pooh horror movie. And not only did we get the Winnie the Pooh horror movie, we got the Winnie the Pooh horror movie sequel that's also, I think it's coming this year or has already dropped, one or two. But the studio behind this is already making a Pooh-verse movie, which is a horror flick that's going to be monsters assemble Avengers style with all these horror creatures. So we're looking at like Winnie the Pooh, we're looking at Bambi, Pinocchio, all in this one movie. So Avengers, horror flick, with iconic Disney characters that we've seen. Not the same, a little bit different, but that's what we get, MonsterVerse. All the very little plot details, always the fact that it is coming and the fact that all these characters will be together. As soon as I saw the poster, as soon as I saw it, I was just looking going, God damn. Like, of course, like, why not? You know, they're a public domain. You have the opportunity. Why not make something a little bit different? And like, yes, this is, would you call a B horror flick or a C horror flick? I'm not too sure. I'd say B, that you knew this was on the horizon. And I would do the exact same thing. I was behind this production team. I'd be like, yeah, let's make an Avengers horror movie with Winnie the Pooh and characters alike. So I can't wait until we see the trailer for this. This is going to be mad, insane, and raise so many questions. But don't you worry, horror fans. You are getting an Avengers horror movie in the Pooh-verse. That's right around the corner, actually. It's going to come, later this year or next year. So it's not far away. But yeah, that's on the table. Now, also, this is Margot Robbie's production company are looking to make a live-action The Sims movie. Now, The Sims is an iconic franchise that's been around for many, many, many years. Sims 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is in currently development. All the expansion packs, every little weird words, as you know, all Sims say to each other, all the way. Now, they're going to be a live-action movie. Now, this was kind of like no surprise. It's one of those things that had to be brought to live action. Someone was always going to tap into it. It's rest assured that's behind Margot Robbie's production company, but I'm very curious to know how is this movie going to look like? You could turn a Sims into a horror movie like that. You know, guy gets in the pool, lad disappears, can't get out. Guy comes home from work, house is completely gone. Guy goes into a living room, and as he turns around, everything's gone. It's just all barbecues on fire, and then there's death. Like, there's a lot you could do with that. Was just horror flick ideas, but there's a lot you could do with The Sims. But how it's going to look like, is it going to be, you know, from the outside world? They all have their weird language, but then when we go into their world, they'll talk English. How is it going to do it? They're all going to have green diamonds above their head. Is it going to be like The Truman Show in a weird one away? But I would love to know, what do you want to see in The Sims movie? What weird and wonderful plot details do you think they're going to have? And who would you like to see starring in a Sims movie? I'd love to know what you all think, but no release date, no script. It's on its way. So let's see, currently 2024. It's going to, I'd say, late 2025, but most likely definitely 2026 they will be dropping. Now this has been talked about multiple different times, and recently interview Michael Rummer, who obviously played Lex Luthor, has said that again and rest assured that a Smallville sequel is in the works, and it will once it is in the works, but when the time is right is when they will launch it. So no release date at this stage. So he's looking to make an animated TV show. All the entire cast is down to do it and return and voice it. So they've got that working in the background. Obviously, they have to work with James Gunn. Everything's going on with that Superman. But this is on the rise. So it's not a guarantee that we will get it, but it is ready to go once they get the green light. Everybody's involved for this. Now, obviously, the closest thing we got to a slight sequel was the Arrowverse, Tourist Multiverse Collide that we all got, which if you're watching this, you can see on see on the screen. We did get that was the small sigil that we have got. And I would be 100% down for a Smallville animated TV show sigil. I would watch that. Like, I could still hear the Save Me theme in my head all the time. All the time I can always hear it. And, you know, there was so much that Smallville did as a TV show, how much explored and pushed the Superman mythos even bigger than it actually was. And I do, obviously, if you haven't listened to it, Michael's actually got a podcast with it, with the crew, and they're actually going through episode by episode by episode. It's a really good, what a plug. It's a really good show, and I highly recommend it. But for Smallville fans, an anime TV show is in the works, and it will be launching when the time is right. So don't hold your breath, but don't you worry. It is coming at some stage. Now, I was so excited for this, and I need to go get my tickets very soon to go to Saudi Arabia, because they are going to be building in Saudi Arabia. They're going to be bringing a Dragon Ball theme park, 500,000 square meters of an theme park absolutely dedicated to Dragon Ball, going from Dragon Ball to Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT to Dragon Ball Super, all the way, everything else in between. And it's going to be like Kami's house, the lookout, Capsule Corp, everything is going to be in this. And as soon as I saw the trailer for it, I was like, holy shit. I messaged my friends straight away. I said, look, we need to get tickets to Saudi Arabia, because they are building this. And God, like, they are going to get such a big audience, tickets to go to this. Yes, it is in Saudi Arabia, which is, you know, I think it's totally fine. They've got the space to do it. They've got the money. They are going to get so many people going to this, you know. And Akira Toriyama, I have no doubt, if he was still alive, he would be jumping for joy for this, and this would be amazing. And I think this is going to be so cool, and I can't wait to get the opportunity to go, and we'll see the rides, the merch, everything interactive you can do. That's going to be, I would love to go to, yeah, here, go here, try being Super Saiyan for the first time, or, you know, this and that. Like, that's going to be cool, or something to do with, like, you have to go through the park and try and find the Dragon Balls, or find the Namekian Super Dragon Balls, you know, all that kind of stuff. That would be so cool. Currently no official day of when this is going to be open, but they haven't started yet. They're going to go in construction, so we're probably looking like 2028. So I'm pretty sure I could save enough money to go to South Arabia at that time with a bunch of friends for the Dragon Ball theme park. Enough said. That's on the horizon. Now, this I'm kind of surprised about. At the same time, I'm not, and I think a lot of people will agree with me. This is one of those sequels that should not be touched. It is good in its own perfect form. But yes, a Happy Gilmore 2 is currently in the works. They have written a first draft. Obviously, more work to do, but Happy Gilmore 2 is on the horizon. We're probably looking like, you know, again, late 2025, 2026. But I would love to know, like, would you want to see Happy Gilmore 2? For me, it's something that should not be touched. Just keep it by itself, alone, and that's it. And all Adam Sandler moves he's ever made, I feel like this is something that should not be touched at all. 100% stop the cash grab, 20-year-old sequels. Exactly. Exactly. It shouldn't be touched. It shouldn't be made. And, like, am I going to watch it? Of course I am, because I love Happy Gilmore and I think it's a great movie. But should it be made? No. Where can you go with a sequel to Happy Gilmore? Like, is his son? He's going to come out of retirement to play golf? Is Shooter McGavin back with his son? Is this going to be like a Creed 2 kind of style movie? Except instead of boxing, it's going to be golf? Like, where is this going to go that's actually going to satisfy fans for, more than, by the time the movie releases, probably more than 20 years since the original movie. So, yeah, kind of like a slow thumbs up of like, yeah, Nah, that's not needed. And Hunt, yeah, again, dear God, no, please, God, no. Yeah. I fully agree with you, man. I would not, yeah, I think it's an absolute miss. So this is one of the news I was very surprised about. So next year, Captain America 4, New World Order. And obviously, going into that movie, it's going to be a sequel to Falcon and Winter Soldier. Now, Anthony Mackie has come in a recent interview that says Sebastian Stan, Bucky, and Zemo aren't returning for this movie. Now, I understand Zemo because of how Falcon and Winter Soldier ended, but really, no Bucky? Like, I feel like that doesn't make a lot of sense how Captain America and Falcon Winter Soldier ended. I was assuming Bucky will be in this movie because Bucky's also going to be in Thunderbolts. But, like, what I find, yeah, because he mentioned the fact that his best friends aren't there, but he understands. But, like, how, like, in Marvel, I trust. But how are you going to explain at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier and why Bucky isn't in this one, but he's in Thunderbolts? And, like, yes, we are getting Cap 4, we are getting Fantastic, we are getting Thunderbolts at the end of the year, but is Cap 4 and Thunderbolts meant to be at the same time? And, my God, that's a terrible click in my wrist. Meant to be at the same time. Why is he not in it? I think it would have made a lot of sense having Bucky there, being a Captain America movie. Like, Bucky's been in all the Captain America movies, and he should be there with the new Captain America. So, for any Bucky fans, yeah, they're not going to get anything of that. No Bucky for Cap 4, which I find very weird, but he's going to be in Thunderbolts, and he's going to be one of the main cast into that, which is really good. So, but yeah, don't understand that at all. I trust Marvel. I just want a good explanation on why. Now we also got our first trailer of the Penguin TV show. Now, if you don't remember, a Penguin TV show on HBO Max has been greenlit. It's currently finished filming. It's currently in its editing stage. It will be releasing at the end of this year. So for Australian fans, it most likely will drop on Amazon Prime or Binge. There we go. Or maybe Stan. Maybe Stan, that's another one. Three it could land on for us here in Australia. So this is a TV show that's going to bridge the gap between the Batman and the Batman 2. This is where we're going to see the Penguin rise up and become the mobster icon that we do know him to be after the death of Falcone in the last movie in this. And, like, I'm so excited to dive back into this world of the Batman, especially when the Batman 2 has been pushed back to 2026. It's great the fact we're getting this little snippet going into. Now, the trailer was just a highlight reel, and obviously talking about how how good it is to be iconic, how to be, about this mobster that, they gave a parade to and, all this recognition to, and he's saying, what if I got the same thing? And hey, Eric on YouTube, thanks for coming past, man. Definitely my most anticipated show of the year, aside from House of the Dragon. And look, House of the Dragon, I'm not excited for. I'm not really a big Game of Thrones fan. Oh, actually, not a fan, sorry. It's not something I haven't got into Game of Thrones. Not saying I don't dislike it. I just have never got into it. But the Penguin trailer looked really good. It's looking as gritty as the Batman TV show. And the interesting thing is, like, watching this, which I didn't pick on until I saw someone's comment. So the Penguin, of course, in his iconic character form, is always smoking a cigar. Always. But apparently he couldn't do that in the Batman film due to WB saying he can't smoke. Weird, weird thing for WB. But I guess because this is through HBO Max and this is on a TV platform, we can see him smoking a cigar in pure character form. And Colin, who's portrayed the character, did such a good job in Batman. I have no doubt this is going to be fantastic too. And I actually forgot me saying that. I think The Penguin is 8 episodes long. I'm pretty sure. I think it's I just got 3 episodes long. Yeah, just 3 episodes long, according to this. And Eric, I wonder if he'll get the top hat. Digi's Colin is amazing, 100%. Eric, wonder if he'll get the top hat. I don't want him to get the top hat, but I just hope the fact that it's going to be something like he's like rummaging through a whole bunch of things and he's like got this hat and goes, oh, what do you think? And someone's like, you know, he looks silly. And he's like, yeah, and gets rid of it. Yes, that's going to be a little bit cheesy, but I'll be really happy to. Yeah, it's only 3 episodes. I thought it would be, oh, sorry, my apologies. 8 episodes. Sorry, it's going to be 8 episodes long for the entire series, which is the normal. Sorry, 8 episodes. 8, sorry. It's the list I was looking to is only showing the first 3 of who's directing the first 3, but we are going to be 8 episodes for this. It says it's going to be releasing in the fall, so we're looking again at October, September, roughly about there when that will be dropping. And of course, right here, we're going to be reviewing it every single week as we dive back into Matt Reeves' Batverse. Eric, he is my favorite take on the Penguin ever. I couldn't agree more. He's one of the standouts from the Batman. I think in my review, I said that. He did such a good job. And I remember thinking when I heard it was Colin and I saw the photos of him as Penguin, I was like, this could be a bit of a hit or miss, really. I wonder how that's going to turn out. But no, he was one of the standouts. He was one of the MVPs of the Batman of him coming out. So that was fantastic. So as I said, no release date. We got the trailer. And for me, just watching this was just, I'm just ready to dive back into this Matt Reeves videos. I'm ready to dive into this. And I'm so excited that we're going to be getting it, and it's going to be at the end of the year, roughly about there. So it could be very much that we're going to be reviewing The Boys, Acolyte, and then bang, right into The Penguin. Oh, into The Penguin anyway. But yeah, it could be. Now, we also got the first trailer. As I mentioned, we got the first trailer, Acolyte. Now, that was a bloody good segue. Acolyte. So, but Acolyte does have a release date, and this Acolyte is coming, and that will be releasing on the 6th of June this year. So anyone who is a Star Wars fan and The Boys fan, we're in such for a treat. We're getting, for about the same time there, we're getting The Boys and Acolyte at the same time. So it's going to be Star Wars, The Boys, week for about 7 to 8 weeks. Whew, hell yes. So that's probably what's going to be a lot of me. I'm going to be reviewing in that time frame and some movies. So that's what it's going to be like. So the trailer, so for anyone who doesn't know, now Acolyte is something it's a very different show altogether in the Star Wars mythos and all the show. So this isn't part of the Mandoverse. This isn't a sequel to the sequel trilogy. This is actually set 50 to 100 years before episode 1 of The Phantom Menace. So this is where Jedi are in peak form. There's so many of them and they're living life all free. And then a new Sith arises. And they're basically, because they haven't seen a Sith for so long, they're kind of very underwhelmed, unmatched for a new Sith to rise and get. And the trailer isn't very long. This was a little bit funny. It is one of the most disliked button trailers ever on YouTube, which I don't understand the hate for. It's the trailer didn't have anything in it that I hated. And I can imagine is people disliked it because there was no iconic characters. There was no Mando. There was no one that. It was only for a minute long. There was no snippets to some really big lore. Why everyone hate it, but no, the trailer just showed you enough of the universe. There was multiple lightsabers. There was a really cool scene with a red lightsaber. So yeah, I don't understand the hate for it at all. It's not that bad at all. So with that saying, I did see a great fan theory, the fact that this could be very at the same time that we might see Darth Plagueis. Either this could be right before him, or this could be right after him or during. So if it ties into that iconic, have you ever heard the tragedy of Darth Plagueis? If it ties into that, that would be fantastic. Maybe get a young Palpatine. I think a lot of hate. Is because people don't understand is more Legends lore in it than actually movie canon. Exactly, 110%. I couldn't agree more. Because it's more of that Legends, and obviously Legends isn't for the wider average viewer, you know. Someone might look at it and go, yeah, where's Han? Where's Mando? Where's Luke? Where's Ahsoka? I don't know any of these characters. So dislike. It's very plausible. Eric, I think it's just the Star Wars and Disney Plus fatigue, which I can't lie, kind of has me not too excited for anything of sort, really, but still will watch it probably. Yeah. And look, don't get me wrong. I understand with everyone with a Star Wars fatigue. Yeah, there's been a lot. I think what Acolyte will do is very similar to not Rogue One, Andor. I think very much what it will do with like Andor is that this is a little bit different in the sense that, you know, this is a different part of the Star Wars lore that we've never touched before. This is fresh. It's new. It's a new story element altogether that hopefully will help people with that fatigue of Star Wars. This is new sets of characters. This is all together. This is something really different. And saying that, this year we will get Acolyte, and the other TV show that we'll be getting is Skeleton Crew, which is set in the Mandoverse and is a sequel to... Oh, no, I think it's a sequel, but it is set at the same time as the Mandoverse. Let's say shout out to Mark on the Twitch chat. Thanks for coming past, man. Now I think of it, this could really go either way. Either it's going to come out, it's going to be refreshing, new Star Wars fans are going to love it because it's different, or we could very much have the complete opposite, in which we have the Last Jedi effect that Disney does not need another Last Jedi effect on a TV show. Could I see maybe Skeleton Crew having a better general favorable response or audience response compared to Acolyte because it's in the Mandiverse? Yes. Very much yes, I could see that happening. But look, I think it's just something that we're going to get all the episodes, 7 or 8 episodes for this too. We just got to take it with a grain of salt as we dive into this new universe altogether. Now, actually, one of the directors of the show has mentioned that one of the writers that she did hire is actually never seen Star Wars altogether, but she wanted to hire her to get a fresh perspective on this story, that this person can look at the story and not think about the overall Star Wars verse. Because, you know, as a fan, you'd be like, oh, we should use this, we should use that, you know, this, that, you know, all together. But, you know, you get a fresh take. And I think that's a great idea. And you get a great idea because you have someone who looks at this story as a pure story altogether, just one, and you're not thinking of everything else combined, which I think is a great idea. But yeah, Acolyte, June the 4th, kind of, you know, not too far along, but get ready for a new Star Wars show. Alien Romulus. So Alien Romulus is coming out on the 16th of August this year. Now, the director is the one who directed Evil Dead, and he also did... Oh, it just escaped me. I just had it on the tip of my tongue. What else he did? He did the Evil Dead. Oh, Don't Breathe. I'm like, it's something breathe. Don't Breathe. The director also did that. And I think if Evil Dead, Don't Breathe, I think is a great combination to lead into Alien Romulus, which is takes elements from brutal, dark, horror, bloody, really slow, suspense, scary, Don't Breathe. So Alien Romulus, this trailer looked so good. Now, it's only about a minute and 20 seconds, if that. And what we get that, again, that space fear, blood, and that lone survivor aspect. And we get to see the iconic Xenomorph in action and multiple facehuggers in this movie as well. So much, and I'm so excited to see this. Like, I'm probably gonna shit myself every time I see a facehugger and a Xenomorph does a jump, all the straight out of your mouth. But we are going to be reviewing that, and we do have the iconic film versus film podcast that's going to be jumping on to review that, because he could not be any more excited for this. I'm over the moon for Alien Romulus, and I just hope that it kind of takes the film back to its roots and, you know, doesn't do, like, how can I put this? Just sets it in the right chain, goes back to that, because it is, this is set between, it's an anyway, it's set between Alien 1 and Alien 2. So if it's setting it in that gap, and it's nowhere near the god-awful Alien 3, it's nowhere near the Alien 4, which has some merits, but still really weird. It's gonna be really good. Ridley Scott is producing as well, so hopefully this takes it back to its roots and this is an absolute solid sequel. There's a lot of hype for this movie, and I honestly can't wait. The aesthetic, the CGI, it all looks really good. And before you know it, which is really scary, is that we're gonna be reviewing this before you know it. Like, this year is going so fast. And yes, before that, we've got Deadpool 3. But this year feels like it's going so fast. But Alien Romulus, between 1 and 2, coming out in August, bloody, scary, intense, space horror, I'm in. So I can't wait. And again, out of all the trailers in the past week, this was the one I was blown away by. Fairly, this, Acolyte, and Beetlejuice in probably in that order. Actually, no, Alien Romulus, Dragon Ball Z, Theme Park, and then this. I was really excited for it, and it just looks god intense. Now, unfortunately, now this is no surprise, and, you know, it happened with Red Dead Redemption 2, so before anyone gets up in arms and like, oh, shit. Grand Theft Auto 6 is meant to be coming out next year. However, the reports could be the fact that it could be coming out in 2026 due to how production on the game is going. Apparently, it's slowed down a little bit, so it could very much be pushed until 2026, which I don't mind. I don't hate that. I don't think anyone should stress about it. Yes, it's going to be another year, but it is sad. 100% is so, yeah, where's the tier going down? I'm gonna bet it too. But look, you know, it's not, at least they're saying it now just in case, because I remember with Red Dead Redemption 2, I think we were only a month out from the release date when they dropped saying it's not coming out for another year, which was absolutely gut punching, but so worth it. But this Grand Theft Auto 6, we're looking at 2026. Look, rolls off the tongue. GTA 6, 2026, makes it. So most likely we'll be at fall 2025, but 2026 is what it could be. So, like, I'm glad we got the trailer. Trailer can keep me going for the next 2 years. And the hype train for this is just going to keep continuing on. So be patient. That's coming. Now this, oh my God. I couldn't believe this. I'm still kind of in shock. So the Joker 2, which is coming out this year, it's coming out in October. It's a sequel to the Joker film that came out a few years ago. Lady Gaga is appearing in this film. It is going, and she is playing Harley Quinn. Now, it was reported that it was going to be a musical. And we understood that. I was like, okay, it was weird. Whatever. That's fine. If you want it to be a musical, that's great. However, what we got a report was is that apparently there's going to be 15 songs in this film. And not to mention, could be a little bit more because Lady Gaga is rumored that she'll be making a particular song for this film for itself. So we're probably looking at 16 songs. Now, if we take away songs that are just going to be in the background with everything going on, there's probably still 6 to 7 musical numbers that we might get in this film. Eric, I am all in on this movie. Are you all in for also 6 to 7 musical numbers that might come in this? I'm just trying to think, like, how would it work? Is it like they're both like in their world, is like when they're dreaming they're singing, or is it one of those things where it's a split where they think they're singing or they think they're in costumes and they're doing stuff when actually they're just doing something completely different? Like, it's a weird world that it is a weird world that the Joker is in. As we know, this, it's, Eric, this sounds like the craziest music. Oh, it will be. This will be such the weirdest musical movie ever. And not to mention, it probably will also get a nomination at the Oscars next year. Just like with Jack Black and Super Mario Movie with Peaches. I have no doubt that one of these, this musical number, all original score numbers that Lady Gaga might make will get an Oscar or some nomination in that sense. Again, if you gave me a script to me and say, hi, hello, Mr. Rant, we want to put this movie in production, it's Joker, the musical with Lady Gaga, I'd be like, what the hell have you brought me? A Joker musical? Whatever. Who's going to want to make that? But it's coming. It's coming. So get ready for it. Eric, Peaches don't get any Oscar nominations though. Well, Peaches didn't, but it did get some award. It got something. Maybe it wasn't the Oscars, but it was some other awards. And you're right. Yeah, the Joker was good. I loved the Joker film. I love the Joker film. I think it was a great, dark and twisted mental film. And at the same time, after I watched that, I thought to myself, nah, like, it doesn't need a sequel. Just keep it by itself. It doesn't need a sequel. It's solid. And how it film ends still gives a good launching point for something going, okay, next is up Batman. But when I got the sequel got greenlit, I was like, okay, Lady Gaga and as Harley Quinn, okay, it's going to be a musical. Ah, okay, then. What have we got? They could have kept the ball rolling, but I don't know. All for the people who love the idea of musical, but not for me. Yeah, not for me. So anyway, I'll still watch it, but then again, I have no doubt it would be a better musical than Wonka. Eric, doesn't need a sequel, but I'm still in. Yeah, it doesn't need a sequel. Same thing. I'm still in. I'll still watch it. I'll still be there opening weekend to watch it. But again, if I would I greenlit it, probably not. But the Joker did make money bank. It did make money in the bank for it. Did make enough money to warrant a sequel. But yeah, boys, get ready for Joker the Musical with probably 6 to 7 musical numbers coming from the Joker and Harley Quinn. Now, this trailer for Beetlejuice, now Beetlejuice 2, which is called Beetlejuice. Here we see the return of Michael Keaton with Jenna Ortega all coming into this film. Renara Ryder, they're all new and back for this one. And it's coming out in September the 5th. Now, this is probably something I was a little bit disappointed in, is that we got a first look of Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice and a couple of set photos that came out. And this trailer only goes for a minute and 10 seconds, roughly about that. And I was watching it, and I was a bit like, I'm like, watching it, I was like, cool.
We get a couple of one scene with Michael Keaton. It kind of sets up the whole thing. But at the same time, it's a bit like, Eric, I'm excited for a darker live action Harley, even though Margot Robbie's perfect, we never really got her as a villain. Now, we never really got Margot Robbie as a pure dark villain. And I have 100%, I think Lady Gaga will do a fantastic job as a dark Harley Quinn. And I want to hear her say, like, Ryder Rooney. I want to hear her say that, or Mr. J. I want to hear that as well. So I have no doubt that she will do a great job in that film. But you know, going back to the Beetlejuice, yeah, I just feel like the trailer just showed you everything we pretty much knew without, like, don't get me wrong, like, I don't think a trailer should show you too much to show you over the plot. But I was like, okay, Janet Taylor, there's a death. They go back to the town. There's the bridge. There's the old house. There's the miniature set. And then there's Beetlejuice is like, the juice is loose. And I was like, and then boom, Beetlejuice. I was a bit like, oh. Underwhelming. Underwhelming is how I would describe that trailer. Very underwhelming to the point where, yeah, it's like, yeah, okay. Like, you just, okay, you just show us what we've seen in leaks and just the basic of the plot. Okay, so I guess I'll have to wait another 3 months to get the second trailer that will actually show what the F is going on for them to warrant to make this. And with Tim Burton and everything. So I don't know how anyone else felt in this, but I was a bit like, just step back out. I could have waited not watching that and just waited to the second trailer. I'd be like, huh, okay. Showed us nothing new. Appreciate it. That's it. I was like, okay, cool. But like, Keaton's back. All the characters look good. And I can't wait for this movie. Like, I'm excited for this. I'm excited to go back into the Beetlejuice world. I just thought the trailer was a bit underwhelming. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is the biggest news that has happened in the past week. Now, let's talk about Invincible. Season 2, episode 6. Now, how that last episode ended was just mad. For an episode that only goes for 50 minutes, so much happened with that going into it. And I remember watching the end of it going, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, just that was just the instant reaction going into that last episode. So last Thursday, I play competitive tennis every Thursday night, and which is really annoying because that's when the new episodes drop. So as soon as I got home from tennis, which is about 11 o'clock, I switched on and watched the last episode of Invincible, where we catch up. Oh, by the way, spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it and come back and listen to this review and see if there's anything that you missed. But for anyone who has seen it, let's dive into this. So this episode continues on with Mark and the crew dealing with the squids. Squids and on the Mars ship, which looks very dire straits going into that. We get a great action set piece with going on with that. We get a great dynamic between Mark and Immortal, you know, who leads team. That dynamic, loved it. And they do manage to actually finish off the squids. They save everybody and they get off the Mars ship, and it gets into a hilarious shit. Spaceship battle with Mark and the other Martians. So Mark finally gets back home again after going out to space. So when after that happens, we dive into the team, realizing what's happened to the other half of the team that happened against the lizard crew, which, as said, Ant-Man girl, which I forgot her name. It was just on the tip of my tongue. She died. Immortal's got to deal with that. We get the funeral scene that we saw on the trailer. He's trying to deal with that. So it's very emotional. He's very shocked about it. Rex, I don't understand this. I don't know how Rex survived with a gunshot to the head, and he kills the Lizard King, great, and beats the shit out of him. But I was a bit like, how?
How are you? Yeah, you got shot in the head. How are you alive? Like, how? Okay, cool. So he's in hospital getting a new hand because it got eaten off, and he's getting his head fixed up because he's had a gunshot in it. Ray, the multiplayer chick passed away. Very gruesome, but the Ray, the Ant-Man girl, she actually survived, but she's brutaled in that. She comes out in a horrible way, just like falls out the dead carcass of that anaconda beefed up dude. That's so good to deal with that. At the same time, Mark comes back and Debbie's still taking care of Mark's half brother, which now they've named Oliver. And Debbie's going to get a nanny to help look after. Which, of course, we all know the nannies are working for Cecil, which Debbie's already half aware of that, but she does find one to help her. So now Mark's little brother has now a name called Oliver. So we do get him as well. And as we're also dealing with this, we also get Mark and Amber trying to reconcile, which is a bit, I like this character development. I think the Royal Accord, because this episode really deals with the whole balance of being a superhero and dating life. It actually gave me really big Spider-Man 2 vibes of, you know, with Peter Parker and Mary Jane trying to deal with both. And then same similar thing, you know, Amber and Mark trying to deal with both, which ends up really they've broken up. But we get a great scene between Amber and Eve talking to each other and Mark talking to Renan, I'm pretty sure his name is, the guy who makes his suits. And we get a great contrast for that scene of them, you know, why are you here? Why aren't you talking to her? You know, you're going to make time. You're going to make it work. So I love the episode. So this episode isn't big. Unlike last episode, the action is dialed right down. This is more of an emotional episode of everything going in. I think they do that great. This is really just a fallout of everything from the last episode going on. And we also get Alan the alien, who does rock up and tries to recruit Mark, which Mark also does say, and like, wow, you're looking a little bit beefed up. And he's like, yeah, that's what happens when you get your shit kicked in by Viltrumites and come back. So, and then we finally get the little clue that at the end of, which was really a bit weird, at the end of the break of season two's break, was Iron Man did say to Mark, say, read my books, son, read them. And he finds his books, thanks to Renan, he shows him books that he did write books, but apparently they weren't big sellers. Mark realizes that reading these books, they're actually showing you how to beat Viltrumites, with both these weird alien creatures that are super strong that can kill them, all this gun that could wipe them all out instantly. And one big. So Alien scans books and is going back to the Empire to say what he's got back. And he does say, Mark does say to Alien, Alan, when the fight's there, I'll be there. You know, he's like, I got stuff I got to deal with here first. So we do get that as well. So I love that dynamic. We also see Army Man with talking with Craigs, you can call him, on the Viltrumite prison, where he's basically talking to me like, you know, you're the greatest warrior. You did so many planets, and all, you know, you conquered so much. How did a little planet like Earth make you so weak? Which he throws Iron Man around. I mean, doesn't say anything, but does get really angry and like punches the ground. So he's fine. He's healthy. He's good to go. He's just stuck in prison. So why that? So we get that. We get that's going on. But unfortunately, the squids, if you will, one survived by being in the belly of the astronaut that was taken over. He goes back to his place when the Shapesmith obviously ransacked the place and left crap everywhere. So he goes to go throw up in the sink from all of this, and there's a Squidward, which of course comes out, takes him over. So now the squids are now on Earth. So that's going to be another battle down. There's a lot of like moving parts of, it's almost like on the verge that there's like too much happening, but at the same time, it's not too much that's happening at the same time. Like, you know, this at the end of this episode, we do get Angston, which we haven't seen for a little while, get his new suit, goes to the pool, and it looks like he goes back to his normal Earth, if you will, back to his Earth. So we get him, and I'm like, I keep forgetting, like, that's right, you're working in the background. We've got the whole thing with the Viltrumite Empire problem. We've got the Squidoids going on, and obviously with the fact that their Avengers team is, like, down technically 2 to 3 people with what's going on, and Cecil's trying to get Amber to come back because they really do need her, and Rex is, handless. Don't know how much you can give a hand. But again, even though this episode's really slow, I love the fact that it did slow. You steer with the aftermath, the emotional of these characters. There's all these plot points going on, but it still centers in the part that keeps you, okay, really focused going into it, and not too overly large. And honestly, with these characters, you feel for Mark and you feel for Amber with what's going on. So the writing on this show is still peak. It's still going strong. It absolutely sucks that there's only 2 episodes left, which annoys the absolute shit out of me, the fact there's only 2 episodes left. I think it's only 2. I'll actually double check. It's just going to shit me. Only 2 episodes left. So 4 before, 4 after. So there's going to be an absolute lot that's going to happen the next 2 weeks of this show. That's going to happen. So get ready, especially for your Easter and the week after that. That Invincible is still going strong. And I really, really do hope, which they have said it will, I really do hope we get season 3 at the end of this year. Look, I do care, but at the same time, I don't care. If they do the 4 before Christmas and after Christmas, that's fine. I really do hope they would just do it all together. But if we get season 3 at the end of this year, that would just be awesome that we can, because it feels like the problem with the break, it just feels like you get in with all these characters, you get familiar-wise with everything that's going on, and then it's taken away from you instantly, and you already have to, like, oh, shit, okay, that's the end of the season. I guess I got to wait another 12 months until I get the other one. So that's the shitty thing. So season 3 and season 4 are being shot back-to-back, so hopefully it'll be a lot quicker. But I want to know, what did you think of the last episode of Invincible? Do you think it's staying strong? Do you think the plot's going to get too varied and watch everything go with everything? How do you feel with, you know, the animation? How do you feel about the action? How do you feel that this episode's a little bit slower than usual? I'm all up for it. Let's chat about it. But this episode, still an absolute win and staying strong beat for beat for beat. I didn't have anything in the episode I looked and go, I didn't like it. The only thing I don't like is that fact I know there's only 2 episodes left. Now, let's dive into Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, which if you're following us on Instagram, I post a short as soon as I got out of the theater. And, look. I don't know, like, well, actually, no, sorry. I do know. I was just going out of the theater and I was disappointed. I was just disappointed. So, 1, this is a sequel to Afterlife. 2, this was on a budget of $100 million. It's currently got $16 million at the box office so far. So, all the cast from all from Ghostbusters Afterlife has returned. We also get some new characters as well. So Lucky and Pinefield there, and obviously Nadim. We get new characters from that. We also get the old Ghostbusters returning. We're set back in New York, and we've got one of the best things about this film is I love that we got a new villain going. It's in rehash an old villain that we get a brand new villain set in New York. And the MVP for this movie is Stravis Phoebe. She is the main person for this film, and she does a fantastic job. And this is what I'm going to tell you, is that with this film, is that if you're going in for just a nostalgia trip, it will suffice. It will give you that nostalgia. It will give you what you want. But if you're looking for a film to lead on to another one, or, you know, expand upon the Ghostbusters universe, it really only does it a little bit. And it doesn't really do it enough. So I remember going back, that there was a whole rumor that this was going to be Ghostbusters going international, that there would be firehouses around the world, that they would have multiple teams. Winston was going to be handling the whole thing. That doesn't happen. That didn't happen at all. So we find out that Winston's actually created a new paranormal research facility, which Lucky and Pinfon actually work there, where they have a brand new ghost facility where they can study, capture, remove the entity from an object, and a brand new, not a holding cell, but a brand new containment which could hold many ghosts for a very long time, because the containment at the firehouse is nearly at the brim because it's been catching ghosts for the past 30 or 40 years. That's nearly at the brim. At the time of building it, obviously, there was no plan of what's going to happen next. It was just to get it done. And we also get Pinkman, or oh, what's his name? Peck. We get Peck back, who's the mayor, which I love that he's back. And again, he's against the Ghostbusters going into this film, which I do love, and he has a great scene at the end. Again, we're diving into spoilers, so spoilers, left, right, and center. So not only do we also get all these characters back, is that another thing I didn't like about this film is that there's multiple scenes in the trailer that don't actually appear in this film, which I was really annoyed about, and it was really weird. Because when you're watching it, like me, when you watch it and you see the trailer, like, okay, they've changed that scene. They've changed that scene. Where's that scene? Which I found a little bit weird. That's a very big Sony thing to do. Madam Web. Well, let me just put that out. It's very weird that they've done that. I can't wait till we get the DVD and find out the rest of the scenes or why the changes with it. But it has a very stacked cast. So what this is, it's the Ghostbusters reestablishing themselves back in the firehouse. The family's moved in. Paul Rudd is obviously being the stepdad, trying to get the family, trying to play Paul Rudd, which he does a fantastic job. And we're dealing with Ghostbusters. We get Phoebe, who, unfortunately, because she's only 15 and 16, she can't be a Ghostbuster. So she's struggling with that. She can't help out because she's too young. And at the same time, they've got the trouble with the containment, which leads to Winston showing them this other facility going on. And with that, we also find out that Nadim, who you know him from Internals, you know him from Fruit, but like, there's so much that he's been in. He's hilarious. So he walks into Dan Aykroyd's shop and he sells him this orb. Just this orb saying, oh, it was just one of my grandparents' stuff, and I'm just trying to sell it. It's $50, move on. But this orb, this brass orb, has so much kinetic energy, it goes nuts. It sets a whole vibe off into New York. And it is, it's called Gracken, was it Gracken? Garaka is called the ghost that is in this entity with extreme power that hates humans due to all what happened in the past. Obviously, so he tried to help someone, didn't go so well, turned him on, was treated poorly, wants his revenge on the earth. Of course. Wants revenge on the earth. So the team try and find out about the orb, but they go back and forth some iconic locations like the library, where we get the library ghost, which was really good. And we get some new ghosts, which was really cool to see. Still not horrific, but like some really dark and scary ghosts as well. We even get Podcast back. His name's literally Podcast. I was like, hey, I can relate to you. So as that's all going on, Phoebe also makes friends with a ghost called Melody, who is actually, we find out, is actually working with Garaka. And she's actually working with her. She makes friends with Phoebe. And you find out she died. She's only 16 and 17 herself, and she died in the fire, but she can't go to the other side because she doesn't know why. She doesn't know what to do. So she becomes friends with Phoebe and talks to her, and we find out that she's working with Garaka because it has to do something because of a ghost. Because in this new paranormal research facility, they have, as I said, they have this device that can remove the entity from an object. So Phoebe goes there because she wants to make it feel what it feels like to be a ghost for only 2 minutes. And that same sense when she does that, Garaka is able to take over her ghostly spirit and also talk to her body and makes the chant that releases Garaka into the world. Massive, massive starts bringing the winter chill. This is literally like Elsa pissed off with the world. This is a dark, scary Elsa. Don't know if it's a man or woman. I'm assuming it's a man by Garaka. That's on me. That's going to be trying to take over the earth, but also is going to go after the firehouse because it wants to open the containment and let all those ghosts that they've collected over the past 30 years to try and build up a ghost army to take over the world. So that's the most worldly thing that we do get. So we get some really funny moments with Nadine, who is the fire master, doesn't realize he's a fire master, realizes that it's all his fault that this is out because his grandmother had this secret lair behind a secret lair or secret compartment in their apartment building, which they were keeping Garaka where he wouldn't be able to get out, but because he was lazy and sold it, that's what comes into this whole thing. And the CGI is good in this film. The action's good. The whole stuff I did love. Nostalgia. Seeing everyone suit up. Even Janine, she suits up for the very first time, which I did love that. But at the same time, it just seemed to hit all the beats that you'd seen in a Ghostbusters movie, but didn't expand. So, like, if they make another one to this, if they make a sequel to this, I don't want any of that. This might be controversial, but if they make a sequel to this film, I do not want them any of the old cast back. I want them, we've got the new Ghostbusters, let them start, maybe at least include Winston because he is the money roll backing up everything. Maybe get Winston, but they need to expand. And I feel now this might be, again, a little bit controversial, but I want like an Avengers level threat of Ghost. I want something big. I want something where you need to get a Ghostbusters in the UK, Ghostbusters in Australia, Ghostbusters somewhere else. I want this to be something absolutely massive, that this is world-biting. Like, yeah, people are going to be like, oh, so it's going to be like another beam in the sky. Yeah, I want to see another beam in the sky. I want something like that. Ghostbusters has to go bigger, darker, and not rely on the old cast anymore. They need to do something like that. It really shakes up the game. No, Ghostbusters is about family, team. So they need to go bigger and larger than life. So for Ghostbusters again, for me, I will go back and watch Ghostbusters Afterlife. I probably won't go back and watch this film. I was just a bit disappointed. Just thought it was just a little bit overstuffed and nothing too much new to the table to really warrant the sequel. Again, it had beats going to New York and all that. That was great. But they need to do something really different for the third one. Really different for the third one all together. So unfortunately, this is better, but not an absolute win for Sony with Madam Web and this. But I'd love to know, what did you think of Ghostbusters? Did you like it? Do you think it was overstuffed? Did it hit every moment you like? Do you want to see a sequel or just leave it? How it all ended. All the acting we did was fantastic. That was all great. But yeah, I'd love to know what you think of it. Where would you want another one to go? Where would you want the sixth prequel? Where would you want that to go for the film? But Ghostbusters for me, I give it a 5 out of 10. That's about where I would put this film. for me, Invincible was better than this Ghostbusters. And Afterlife is better. Out of all the films, I'll go back and watch Afterlife before I go watch this film. So there's a lot that they need to work on the next one, but I'd love to know. Tell me what you think. And as always, I'd like to say thank you very much to everyone who came past for this episode, both on the listening or chatting on the live. As always, I always appreciate it. And until next time, happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.